time now is 7 o'clock. You're listening to KALW San Francisco at 91.7 FM. The Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, starts now with your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by SF Chronicles music critic, Joshua Cosman. Good evening.
Turn up the volume. Can't hear you too well. All right. So, welcome to Minds Over Matter. Hope you had a lovely holiday weekend. It's almost over, I guess. But we also hope you can spend the next hour with us because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, even under these conditions, we're hoping for your participation. Please give us a call. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We should have three tonight, but so far it's only two, so we'll try to make the best of it. I'm sure Josh has plenty of questions, so don't worry about that. Oh, no, he doesn't. Oh, all right, now we're in
trouble. I'm underpowered. No, I'm good. But right. I was counting on trading quips with Lori.
All right. Well...
He'll find us.
Okay. So again, that's 415-841-4134 or 866-798-8255. Just to want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Please remember that if you'd want to contact us. And if you'd like to hear the show on live stream, you can just go to kalw.org and it should be there. If you'd like to hear the podcast, Damien should have it ready after our show tonight. And that will also be at kalw.org and a lot of other places, but start with KALW. I'm sure they would appreciate that. So if you haven't heard of our show before, we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio. And just about everything else. So all you have to do is call in with a question of your own or an answer. And I've given you the numbers. And so I think we'll start with the round of introductions, which shouldn't take very long. These are just two of us. Joshua Cosman is yielding his power and stepping away. Is that true? I wasn't aware that was something a person could do. It's very Dr. Seuss of you.
Oh, Dana. You're showing your no, that's Hamilton. With the rocket's red glare and the cherry bombs bursting in air, our moderator Dana Rodriguez wondered if Fort McHenry was being attacked again last night.
You're right, Josh. I'm showing my cultural ignorance of today. So,
all right.
All that being said, we will start with Josh Cosman.
All right. I have a television. Actually, why don't we start with, this is a question that was held over from last time I was on. You got me to sort of spill it right at the very end of the last show, and there wasn't any time for anybody to think about it, and I didn't feel like it got its due. So the question is this: in the year 1869, the English poet Dante Gabriel Rossetti coined a new word in order to translate a famous line of medieval French poetry. What is the word? What is the line? This is a well-known line of medieval French poetry. And Rossetti translated it into English, thereby introducing a word which is familiar to us, although we usually use it in the context of this line of poetry.
Well, I do remember that question, and to show my ignorance, I still don't know the answer. Uh-huh. And to show my honesty, I never looked it up. So,
good for you. All right.
So I have to leave it out.
We'll leave it out there. All right.
So why don't you give one more question?
I'll give you one more question. Here's a geography question for your delectation. There are three pairs of U.S. states that share both a land border and an initial letter. What are they?
An initial letter.
Yeah. Same initial letter. All right. And a land border.
Okay. A land border and an initial. So when you say initial letter, for instance, Alabama would, you know, what is that, A-L? So is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about A.
Oh, just A, only
yeah,
A. Because you said
the one,
initial.
Just the one. Don't make this more complicated than it is. I'm looking for states that start with the same letter and share a land border.
Okay.
There's only three of these pairs, and I bet you can name them all.
All right. It's something I have to think about.
All right. You think about that.
Why don't you give the question once more?
All right. There are three pairs of U.S. states that share a land border and also start with the same letter. That's a simpler way of phrasing it. I should have done that from the start. What are those three pairs of U.S. states? And also, the poet Dante Gabriel Rossetti in 1869 went to translate a famous line of medieval French poetry. And to do so, he introduced into the English language a new word, which is taken root, although we all know this word, although we usually use it in the context of the English for this line of poetry. Looking for the word and the line.
All right. And I guess I'll do a couple questions, too, before we take a call. All right. Since yesterday was Independence Day, what are the three surnames that appear twice on the signers of the Declaration of Independence?
Ooh.
What are the three surnames that appear twice on the of the signers of the Declaration of Independence?
Well, the only one I know is the easy one, and that would be Adams.
That is correct.
There
are two more.
Yeah. Are either of the other pairs related?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Yeah, this is definitely not my sweet spot. So I will leave it out there for the learned listeners.
All right. So again, what are the three surnames that appear twice on the list of the signers of the Declaration of Independence? Josh got one, which is John and Samuel Adams. What are the other two?
Right.
Second question, who are the two people who have logged the most hours appearing on network TV?
Ooh. In any
who are the, in no on we on air. You know, I mean you have to be
Face. But I mean
But they have to be on network TV. So who are the two people that have logged the most hours appearing on network TV in history, in American network TV?
Right. It would be someone who was doing a news show, right? I mean, it would be
no. I will put you out of your misery there. This is less about the news. So there's a little bit of news involved, but generally not.
Huh. Yeah, I'm stumped on that. I wish Lori were here.
All right. So who are the two people who have logged the most hours appearing on network TV? And what are the three surnames that appear twice on the list of the signers of the Declaration of Independence? Actually, I'm only looking for two now because Josh got John and Samuel Adams. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of the Matter.
Hi, this is Ed. How are you?
Hi, Ed.
So I have two very quick questions, one of which very nice to know. What are the seven ancient word wonder of the world? What is seven wonder of the ancient world? I should have said it. What are the seven wonder of the ancient world?
We can do
it.
Start with the only surviving one.
Colossus of Rhodes, Gardens of Babylon.
Very good.
The lighthouse at Alexandria.
Very good.
Right.
What else?
The pyramids.
Of course, the
Sphinx?
That is the only... No, just the pyramid. The Great Pyramid, actually.
Just the pyramid,
The Sphinx. Yeah, but the pyramids, you can say, that is the only surviving one.
Yeah,
the other one was in Egypt.
The Statue of Zeus.
The Statue of Zeus, right? What else?
Right.
There's something at Halicarnassus, but I can't remember what it is.
Mausoleum at... Yes.
Halicarnassus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. How about the Temple of Athens? You got that?
Did we?
No. The Temple of Athens.
Right.
Not Athens, Athemus, I'm sorry. The Temple of
Yeah,
Athena.
The Parthenon is one of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
And Hanging Gardens of Babylon. That's good enough for that.
Josh got
okay.
That.
Whatever happened to the great lighthouse of Alexandria? You know what happened to it?
Yes, it fell down in the earthquake.
In the sea. You know how many people died in that earthquake? Big chunk of Alexandria fell into the sea. You know how many Egyptians died in that earthquake?
I do not.
The highest ever. 1.2 million Egyptians died in that earthquake. Would you believe that? That is the highest toll of any natural disaster ever. Very quick question. There is a lot of, similar thing to this, the virus that's going on right now, COVID-19, to the ancient Egyptian, the plague story. It really sounded like a plague, and it happened about the sun too, because the 10 plagues of Egypt happened about the spring in Egypt. Okay, so what do you think? Why do we have Trump right now running the country in this horrible time? What is the reason for it? Do you have an answer? I will tell you that.
I'm not sure what your question is.
I will tell you the answer. Why do we have Trump in office right now? Because God ran out of locusts. God ran out of locusts. You know, that's one of the big reasons when locusts ate all of the vegetation. When God ran out of locusts, he sent us Donald Trump. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Eid is here every night until Saturday. okay, so Laurie's joined us. So, Laurie, why don't you go ahead and do a question?
All right. Well, I have an answer to your question. As a matter of fact, Josh was right. Appeared on the TV the most. Is that there? Can you hear me?
I'm sorry. You're breaking up, Laurie.
Hello?
What is it? Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Sort of.
No?
Yeah, go ahead.
The two people who have been on the TV the most have been Hugh Downs and Regis Philbin.
That is correct.
Can you hear me okay, or should I do something else? Should I call back in?
Take your voice down just a little bit, and then that'll
okay.
be better. All right.
How about
better.
That?
That's better.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Good job.
So I have a question. Thank you. Nice to be on the show. So my first question is from the new Spike Lee movie, which is called The Five Bloods. And what I'm wondering is the names of the first of the main characters, the male names in that show are, let me tell you what they are, Paul, David, Otis, Eddie, and Melvin. That's a tribute to something or somebody. I want to know who Spike Lee was writing in tribute for of those five main male characters. Does that make sense? He's homage to somebody.
Say it again, Paul.
And Josh, you might know this too.
Yeah.
In that the names are Paul, David, Otis, Eddie, and Melvin. Okay. And he on purpose wrote those as two five pretty well known people who are known collectively as something.
Go ahead, Josh, you know.
It's the Temptations.
It is. Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Job.
He wrote it for the Temptations. And I have a follow-up. Can I ask a second? It's not related to that?
Yeah.
Yes.
These four people have something in common as well. You ready?
Yes.
Short Harrington, Frank Brown, Thelma McQueen, and Frank White have something in common as well. Nothing to do with Spike Lee, as far as I know. What is it? Anna Short Harrington, Frank Brown, Thelma McQueen, and Frank White have something in common, and I want to know what it is. I'll give you this hint. They are four real people, all of whom are associated with fictional characters. That might be a good hint for that one.
Huh. All right. Thelma has nothing to do with Thelma and Louise, I assume.
It does not. And the four fictional characters are all better known than the four real people.
One more time on the first person's name, Laurie.
Anna Short Harrington.
Anna Short Harrington.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Frank Brown, Thelma McQueen, and Frank L. White.
All right. Anyway. We can leave it out. And
happy to be here.
Damien, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Sparky and Manny. How are you all doing?
Good.
Okay. Another common name in the signers of the Declaration of Independence, could it be Sherman?
It is not Sherman.
Okay. Now, to nail those adjacent letter states, Indiana and Illinois.
That is right.
Illinois and Iowa.
Correct.
And New York and New Jersey.
You got them all. Well done.
And that's what we're running with.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And let's see. So we're going in a different order tonight. So Josh, why don't you go ahead if you have a question?
I have a television question for you.
All right.
I'm going to give you some addresses, and I want you to tell me who on television lived in these addresses. I've got
how many?
1, 2, 3, 7, and I'll put them in the chat, in the Zoom chat, so you don't have to follow along necessarily. Hold on a second. I will do that, and then I will read it off onto the radio. So here they are. 9764 Jeopardy Lane, Chicago, Illinois. 2311 North Los Robles Avenue, Pasadena, California. 124 Conk Street, Bikini Bottom. 308 Negro Arroyo Lane, Albuquerque, New Mexico. 1049 Park Avenue, New York, New York. 84 Rainy Street, Arlen, Texas. And finally, 1313 Mockingbird Lane. These are all the on-screen addresses of well-known television characters.
The last one is the Munsters.
The Munsters, that's right. 1313 Mockingbird Lane is the home of the Munsters.
And, of course, SpongeBob SquarePants is the Bikini Bottom.
Yes, that's exactly right. All right, Smarty.
All right.
So, who lives at these addresses? 9764 Jeopardy Lane, Chicago, Illinois. 2311 North Los Robles Avenue, Pasadena, California. 308 Negro Arroyo Lane, Albuquerque, New Mexico. 1049 Park Avenue, New York, New York. And 84 Rainy Street, Arlen, Texas.
I have a guess. Is 308 Negro Arroyo, is that one bad?
I couldn't hear you.
308 Negro Arroyo, Albuquerque. Is that Walter White in Breaking Bad?
That's exactly right. Well done.
All right. That's the only one I know.
Is the Park Avenue one a comedy, Josh?
Sure.
I'm trying to remember. Didn't The Odd Couple live on? Was it The Odd Couple?
It is The Odd Couple. Yes.
All right.
Congratulations. Nice. All right. Yeah. So that's two apiece, and we'll leave the other three out.
Okay. All right. Why don't you give the ones that are left, please?
The ones that are out are 9764 Jeopardy Lane, Chicago, Illinois, 2311 North Los Robles Avenue, Pasadena, California, and 84 Rainy Street, Arlen, Texas.
All right. You are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. I hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to join us, the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Give us a call as soon as you can. Sometimes we do get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, but if you call us soon, we will get you on. Our panel tonight, that would be teacher Lori Fisher from Diablo Valley College, Joshua Cosman, classical music critic for the San Francisco Chronicle. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. You are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I have nothing. I have the states, and I have nothing else. But thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hi, Ed.
Hi, I have... Well, first, let me nitpick Josh's answer on that last question. The one about the states, didn't... I thought you said you wanted two states that share a land border.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois and Iowa are divided by the Mississippi River.
Oh, well, all right. I take your point. I was phrasing it that way to distinguish it from Minnesota and Michigan, who have a border that's in the middle of one of the Great Lakes.
Okay. All right.
Your pick is well knitted. Your knit is
okay. Let me see. I would have had Indiana, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, but someone beat me to it. The Declaration, the other family name, Hopkins, maybe?
I'm sorry, would you say that again? No, it's not Hopkins. Sorry.
Not Hopkins. Okay.
No.
I don't know any of the addresses that are left, so I am going to go Bellless tonight, but I do have a question for you guys.
All right.
I was playing around with state names and state capitals this week. This is more brain teaser-ish than trivia. But if you make a list of the state capitals in alphabetical order and number them 1 through 50, and then you make a list of the state names in alphabetical order and number them 1 through 50 separately, and then you add together the state name with its state capital, which one comes first in the list? Who has the lowest score?
Ooh. I like this question. I was afraid you were going to ask which state had the same number on both lists.
And well, there are actually two of those. That is, I have that number. I have that answer. There are two.
Right. But Ed, I want you to, for the benefit of everybody, repeat the question, would you?
Okay. Make a list of the capitals in alphabetical order. Mm-hmm. Number them 1 through 50. Then you make a list of the states in alphabetical order and number them 1 through 50. Then for each state with its capital, add together the two numbers. And which state and capital has the lowest score, meaning closest to A?
I congratulate those who can do this in their head because I can't.
Well, I'm working on it, and it's interesting. My first guess was Dover, Delaware, which would be 8, and then I realized Atlanta, Georgia would also be 8. So the if it's not a tie, then the actual answer is lower than that, which is impressive.
No. I'm not saying – you're not giving it a number for the letter. It's not A equals 1, B equals 2.
Okay, I see. It's the ranking.
So the first one is Albany, for example. Albany
right,
is
right,
the
right.
First
I
capital.
You're right. I got it now.
Okay.
Is it, in fact, either of those, Dover or Atlanta?
Atlanta, Georgia is the highest on the list. Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta is third on its list, and Georgia is 10th on its list.
Great.
Good for you. You want to do the end of the alphabet?
What's that?
I said, do you want to try the end of the alphabet?
I do. That's exactly what I want. It would be I'm going to have to think about this for a sec. How about Madison, Wisconsin?
Madison, Wisconsin is near the end, but no, they're 45th.
Mm. All right. Well, I don't want to take everybody's time, but I'm going to ponder this a while, and I can self-check it later. I like this question. Thank you.
All right. Ed?
Yeah.
Ed?
Yeah.
Why don't you give that answer for the last one to Damien?
Okay.
He can write it down, and then if nobody gets it, we'll give it at the end of the show.
Okay, we'll do.
All right, Ed. Thank you.
Yeah. I have a possible answer. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Ori.
Is it, Josh, you would know this, is it Spokane, Washington?
Spokane's not the capital.
That's not the capital.
Well, that
it's
would
Olympia,
be
Olympia, Washington.
Okay. I withdraw my comment. I was just seeing if my mic moved.
But if it'll make you feel a little better, Olympia, Washington is closer to the end than Josh's guess of Madison, Wisconsin. So you're closer.
I'm proud of that.
All right,
I'll leave it out.
If you hadn't said Spokane. Okay, so in the meantime, while Damien's writing that down, Lori, why don't you do a question?
Okay, I think, I found this question. This is a good one for Josh and an okay one for Dana. Rolling Stone magazine lists its all-time 100 best songwriters. This is starting with the pop era. And of the top 60, six of them are women. I'm interested in who those six women are. So it starts with the pop era. So it's no Dorothy Fields and people like that, but the first couple are easy, and there's interesting ones on the list. The top 60 songwriters, according to Rolling Stone magazine, six of them are women. Who are they?
Well, Carole King better be number one.
Yeah, I agree.
She's the top women writer, and she is number one of the women, right. Seventh on the list. Okay.
How about Carly Simon?
Carly Simon is not on the list at all.
No.
She's not even in the top 100.
Plenty of people did it better.
Yeah. very good.
but Leslie Gore might be on the list.
You know, she's not. I guess she didn't write enough.
Yeah,
these people are prolific, and party and all that.
How about Chrissy Hynde?
Chrissy Hynde, I'm going to give you us. She's 63rd on the list. That's a great guess.
All right. So I was going to say, if she wasn't on the list at all, I was going to stomp off in a huff.
Stomping off the list.
How about Carol Bayer Sager?
It's a good mix of, you know, she's not, and my guess is she's not in the right genre. You know, she's maybe too pop. No,
wait a minute. What am I doing? Of course, Joni Mitchell is there.
Joni Mitchell is in the top 10. Very nice.
Yeah.
Good work on Joni.
All right. Okay, so
I'm looking for four more.
All right. Give the question again, please.
Rolling Stone list of songwriters, and I concentrated on the top 60. Otherwise, the list gets too long. And of that list are women, and we have Carole King and Joni Mitchell. So I'm looking for four more names of women who wrote prolific. Thick.
Okay. Let me give a question here, and then we'll go to a call. All right. Of the 20 most taught books in American high schools, which three were originally not written in English? Of the 20 most taught books in American high schools, which three were originally not written in English?
Ooh, that's a great question.
And I guarantee you've heard of all of them.
That is a great question. We probably read all of them in high school, right? Are they all novels?
No.
All right. Is one of them the Bible?
No.
These are public high school.
But are any of them plays?
That's interesting. One of them was made into a play, but it didn't start out as a play.
Is that one of the three non-English language ones?
Yes. Yes.
Huh.
So
nothing by Molière.
Go ahead. What?
No, I'm trying to think of, Josh and I are trying to brainstorm. Molière is the kind of person who's taught in high school.
I know what it is. I know the one that was turned into a play is The Diary of Anne Frank.
That is correct. Yes. The Diary of Anne Frank is one. Very good. So once more, of the 20. Hold on, Barry. Of the 20 most taught books in American high schools, which three, and this is, we're talking about literature, which three were originally not written in English? And The Diary of Anne Frank is one. What are the other two?
Is The Stranger one of them by Camus?
It is not.
Oh, okay.
So leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. This is Janos in the Richmond, where peace has descended after the War of the Fourth.
Finally.
Pretty awful. I have a question about an answer. About the Rossetti word, after a century and a half, can you still call a word neologism? I think it was yesteryear from the Villon translation.
Yesteryear is correct.
Okay.
Tell us in your inimitable French accent the original line of poetry.
Yeah, right. I can give it to you in Hungarian, but I won't.
That's what I was hoping.
Right. No, I have a double question real quick. There are two remarkable fictional meetings of historical figures. One is of James Joyce, Tristan Zara, and Lenin in Zurich. And the other one is Lenin also with Marx, Che Guevara, and Mao in London. What are those two meetings?
The first one is Tom Stoppard's play, Travesties.
Correct.
The second one I don't know. Say that again. It's
Lenin, Marx, Che Guevara, and Mao. And it takes place in London.
Oh, is that the front of the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band?
I don't think so. I had in mind the Monty Python classic. But I don't know if it's Beatles also. Thanks.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Did we get the answer?
He said it was Monty Python. So, yes, that's the only answer we have so far. Anyway, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. If you'd like to give us a call, the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, my God.
Hello. Hi, are you there?
I know. Hello, can you hear me?
I can, thank you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Go ahead,
please. Hi.
Yes, we can hear
okay.
you.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. There was a company from New York City that developed a product in 1876. The name of the company was Bradley, Voorhees, and Day. And this product is still being used. And what was that product?
Do we all know this?
Yes. And the hint is that I gave you, that I already gave you a hint.
Yes, it's BVDs. It's underwear.
Yes, Bradley, Voorhees, and Day, 1876. Also, I came up with another of the fiction TV show addresses. I don't know the number, but I remember a show where the family lived on Morning Glory Circle.
Oh.
If anyone remembers that one.
No.
Was that the Bunkers?
What?
No, that was... I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, don't know it all.
Okay, that was in the TV show Bewitched.
Oh, all right. We should have thought
of
that.
I just remember Morning Glory Circle. Also, the states besides New York, New Jersey, Illinois, Indiana, and Illinois, Iowa, what was the other one?
Those were the three.
Oh, I thought there were four, and I kept trying to find it. Okay, lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And we are a little past halfway, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Josh, why don't we start with you?
I want to know who on television lived at 9764 Jeopardy Lane in Chicago, Illinois, who lived at 2311 North Los Robles Avenue, Pasadena, California, and who lived at 84 Rainey Street, Arlen, Texas. That's all I got.
All right. And Lori.
And here are the names of four real people that are associated with fictional characters. Anna Short Harrington, Frank Brown, Thelma McQueen, and Frank White. What do they have in common, the four real people? My other question is about of the Rolling Stones list of the 100 greatest writers of all time, six of the top 60 are women, and Carole King and Joni Mitchell, and we're looking for four others.
All right. There are three, let's see, what are the three surnames that appear twice on the list of the signers of the Declaration of Independence? So far we have John and Samuel Adams. What are the other two? And of the 20 most taught books in American public high schools, which three were originally not written in English? And so far we have The Diary of Anne Frank. What are the other two?
I have a guess on that one. Is another right. one 100 years? Is it 100 Years of Solitude? Is that one
It
of
is
them?
Not. It is not.
Yeah.
And I have a question for you. So are these... This Frank White, is that anything to do with the guy on the cream of wheat box?
It does.
Like so, Rastus? I think the guy's name is supposed to be Rastus or something.
That's correct. Okay. So that's one of... That's the first key, that he's a representation of... Yeah, go ahead.
So Anna Short Harrington is the original Betty Crocker?
Nope, she's the original Aunt Jemima. You'll see a turn here.
And then the other one would be for Uncle Ben's probably, right?
Mike Brown is Uncle Ben. And Thelma McQueen, who's better known as Butterfly Queen, was supposedly the origination of Mrs. Butterworth. So they're all figures of African represented and now taken off the original box and kind of changed into a more appropriate image. So that
right.
it's not okay. just that they represent that, it's they those figures changed. Good work.
All right. There we go.
Nice.
And let's go to a call.
All right.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey there. It's Tom in California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Is Arlen, is Rainey Street, is that Hank Hill?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Oh, good job.
Well done.
All right, you got my bell. Some of the Declaration of Independence, the last names, how about Morris?
Morris, Lewis and Robert Morris, yes.
Correct. All right. Maybe Lee for the other one?
Yes, Francis and Richard Henry Lee. Very good.
Yay. Okay, and then some female songwriters. How about Patti Smith?
Patti Smith is in the top 100, but not in the top 60.
Ah. Dolly Parton?
Parton's in. Give him a bell. Dolly Parton is ranked number 30. Could be higher.
Yay. How about like Nina Simone?
Nina Simone is not on the list.
Kate Bush?
Kate Bush is not on the list.
Oh, Barbara Streisand?
No, Barbara Streisand. I'm not surprised she's not on the list, but she's not.
Okay, and I know she's not on the list, but I like giving a shout out to Cat Power.
Mm.
No, she's great. Okay.
Excellent shout out and correct, not on the list.
Okay. For some of the non-English high school books, how about Madame Bovary?
No.
No. Crime and Punishment?
No.
Metamorphosis?
No.
All right. Okay, and then that's all I got for answers. A question I'll ask, who was the richest person to sign the Declaration of Independence?
That's a good question. And I've seen that. Is it Robert Morris?
No. I know what you're thinking. He was the, Morris was the kind of the banker, the head of the finance. He kind of financed the revolution, or was able to secure the financing for it, but he was not the richest.
Huh. What state were they from?
That will probably give it away, obviously. It would be Maryland.
Oh. Is it Carroll of Carrollton?
That's right, yeah. Charles Carroll of Carrollton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He was also, interestingly, he was the only Catholic signer of the Declaration as well. And he was the one who survived the longest. He died. He was the last one to die.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
thank you very much.
Show.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. If you don't mind too much, I want to give you this question because it has four answers. And I don't want to wait too long for tonight. All right. So this, we're talking about the 2016 presidential election now. And I know nobody wants to think about that, but this is the questions about that. So what are the four, after the Republicans and the Democrats, what are the four parties that garnered at least 100,000 votes? After the Republicans and the Democrats, what are the four parties in the 2016 presidential election that got at least 100,000 votes each?
Go ahead, Lord.
So the Green Party would be my first guess.
Right. And if you can tell me what who their candidate was, I'll give you an extra belt for that.
Well, I can because I went to high school with her, Jill Stein.
All right, Jill Stein. Very good. That's the Green Party. Thank you. Okay.
Okay, Josh, you get the rest.
How about this is always the answer to trivia questions about political parties. How about the Prohibition Party?
No. They didn't get 100,000 votes anyway.
Did the Libertarians run a candidate? Would they have gotten 100,000?
They did.
Okay.
All right.
That's the second one.
How about the Socialists?
No, not the Socialists. So, again, what are the four parties, after the Republicans and the Democrats, what are the four U.S. political parties that got at least 100,000 votes each in the 2016 presidential election? So far, we have the Green Party and the Libertarian Party. What are the other two?
Would any of them been considered to the right of the Republican Party?
Maybe one. Maybe of the ones that are left, yeah.
Doesn't Rand Paul have his, Ron Paul, still have his party?
Yeah, but that's the Libertarians.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Leave that out. Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. This is David in Berkeley.
Hi, David.
I have a question and a couple of answers. My wife Nancy says that the American Independence Party is one of the parties.
It is not.
Okay. And then for women songwriters.
Yes.
My sister Ruth. This is not just the rock era, is it? It's earlier too, right?
Well, it's from the 50s on. So it's not before that. It's not show tunes. It's pop music.
Oh, I see. Because she said Dorothy Fields.
Dorothy Fields isn't on the list because that category isn't on the list.
Okay, well, so I would say Lauren Nero.
You know, I would think so too, but she's not, and that surprised me.
Yeah, all right. Well, then here's my question. I didn't hear the very beginning. Maybe that's why you asked about TV addresses. On the Dick Van Dyke Show, they lived on Bonnie Meadow Lane, as if was the fictional characters lived on Bonnie Meadow Lane in New Rochelle, New York. What is the significance of that address?
That was Carl Reiner's address in New Rochelle.
Yes, that's right.
His real address. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was almost the exact same address, but he added a digit to it. They don't teach Don Quixote in high school, do they?
No, it's not one of the three, I'm afraid.
All right, thank you very much. Bye.
Bye, thank you.
Dana, I've lost track. We had Anne Frank. Have we got another one, or are we still missing two of the other three?
We're still missing two, so we just have Anne Frank.
All right.
And let's see, who has a relatively short question?
I'll take a short question.
All right, go ahead.
Unless you want to go, Laurie, you got shortchanged here. Why don't you go? I'll save this for next week.
All right, Laurie.
Well,
Laurie, I can't hear you.
I kind of like this question. It's a two-parter. Can you hear me now?
No? Sort of. Go ahead,
Josh.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead?
Oh, all right.
I'm not getting a good connection.
All right, So this is a question in January of this year.
I'm going to turn it over to Josh.
All right. Josh, go ahead.
All right. In January of this year, the Wall Street Journal ran a list of the 50 best U.S. cities to live in. I don't know what their criteria were. They, you know, it's always one of these subjective things. It included several Bay Area cities like San Francisco, Piedmont, Burlingame, and Orinda. The first number one on the list was Manhattan Beach. There are two state capitals on the list. I'm wondering if you can guess which were the state capitals that were among the 50 best cities to live in, according to the Wall Street Journal.
I've heard that Indianapolis was one.
I have not heard that. It certainly wasn't. It didn't catch the fancy of the good people.
Okay. All right.
You want to try again?
So would it give too much away to say to tell us whether it's east or west of the Mississippi?
It'll help. It won't help you, but I'm happy to do it. They're both west of the Mississippi.
Okay. How about Santa Fe, New Mexico, then?
Should be Santa Fe, should be Austin. Neither of those is on the list.
Interesting. Okay. So
Can you give us any of the parameters they use? Is it like low crime rate?
You know, I didn't write it down. I just, you know, this was just sort of a gag question because I didn't really, I don't know what the criteria were. I'm sorry.
Great. Do something with it.
All right. We'll think about it. If something.
All right. Read the question once more.
All right. So the Wall Street Journal in January named 50 best U.S. cities to live in, and there were two state capitals on the list, both of them west of the Mississippi, not Santa Fe, not Austin. One of them a fairly straight ahead guess pick. The other one a big ass surprise, at least to me.
So, all right. How about Salt Lake City then?
No, good one though. But you're in the right neighborhood.
All right. Oh.
So, how about a long shot, Sacramento?
No.
All right.
All right. Leave that out. And Damien, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
This Hi, you're
is
on.
Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Hi. I have a question about Carl Reiner. What was his first TV show that he starred in and played the straight man?
Your Show of Shows.
Your Show of Shows, yeah.
Yes. With who? Who was the other comedian?
Well, Sid Caesar.
Yes. And my other question
and
is...
And Imogene Coca.
Right.
Good. Yeah. They were, who was... Jerry Stiller's father, what was his occupation?
Jerry Stiller's father?
Mm-hmm.
So...
In real life, right?
In real life, yes.
Yeah.
He's in New York.
I do not know. No.
Does anybody know?
Nope.
He was a bus driver.
Oh.
Yeah. All right.
Nice.
I want to guess Aretha Franklin. I don't know if she wrote her own songs.
She mostly did not, and she's not on the list. I'm sorry to say.
One more guess is Judy Collins.
Oh,
good guess.
Yeah. Also, good guess, and also not on the list. I think she's not prolific enough. Wrote a bunch of them.
She's not like rock, I know. Thanks for the show.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Jeff and Becky in Sacramento.
Hi.
I'd like to, well, most of my guesses have been taken, but high school books. How about Dante's Inferno?
No.
Three Musketeers?
No.
How about Carson City, Nevada?
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
TV person. Most hours on network TV, I believe you asked. Johnny Carson.
No, we actually got the answer, so I'll give you that. The two people were Regis Philbin and Hugh Downs.
Oh, great. Okay, missed that. All right, thank you. Great show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your calling. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi there. It's Will from the Willamette Valley.
Hi, Will.
Is Boise the...
Good guess, but no.
Okay. What about the books not written in English? Metamorphosis?
Not Metamorphosis.
Okay. I have a question.
Okay.
Can you tell me what these four famous people have in common? Joni Mitchell. She was already mentioned today. Mitch McConnell. Neil Young. And Emmett Till.
Ooh. I may know. Is it a medical thing?
Yes.
They all had polio.
That's correct. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good job.
Hey, Dana, I have a guess on the novels.
All right.
I think they're both long shots because I don't think they're taught much anymore. Steppenwolf and The Trial are my two guesses. Either one?
Neither one.
Yeah. All right.
And next call. Oops, sorry, we can't do that. All right, Lori, now if you have a short question, go ahead.
I do. Well, now we're on a Carl Reiner roll, so I have a few, but I'll just ask one. Fittingly, and I think that's appropriate as the introduction, the plot line of the last episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
What's the question?
I had this little addition very fittingly, so it's appropriate. What was the plot line of the final episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show?
Does Alan Brady die?
No.
What was the last episode? Does one of them get a job and where they leave the? Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm just guessing.
It's a project that Rob Petrie is going to work on. It's going to be his next thing after the show, after he leaves the Alan Brady Show. So they're talking about that. And so it's the next thing that he's going to do.
Is it a movie of some kind?
It's not a movie of some kind.
Okay.
But keep thinking in that direction.
I don't know.
It's something in show business. I'm looking at the time, too.
Is he going to write a Broadway play?
He's not going to write a Broadway play, but keep going through genres.
A book?
Part of it is that he wrote a book, and the book's not going to get published, so he's going to do something else with the book.
He's trying to turn it into a TV series.
That is half correct. He's going to turn it into a TV series. And what's the TV series going to be about?
His life.
His life at the Alan Brady Show.
It's going to be a show about writing a TV show in which the main character is a guy like Alan Brady, and he asks Alan Brady if he'll be on the show. So it's one of the few things where he actually said, I'll turn it into a TV show, and it'll be about writers in a room, and that was a really bizarre idea. And Alan Brady, I'll help you with that show. So that was the final episode of Dick Van Dyke. I thought that was
all right.
Great. Wonderful.
Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Vera in San Francisco. The question about who lived at Paso Robles in Pasadena, Sheldon Cooper on The Big Bang Theory?
That is correct.
Good job.
You had it in. I could hear it in your voice that you had that one.
I had that one, and a book taught in high school, not originally written in English. Would it be The Little Prince?
It would not.
Ooh. Oh, but it should be.
Should be.
It could be. Yeah, but okay. It's not.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Hal in Fremont. How are you doing?
Good, thank you, Hal.
Good. So with addresses, the 9764 Jeopardy, is that the Bundys from Married with Children?
That's exactly right. Well done.
What is it again?
It's the Bundys from Married with Children.
Oh, okay.
I've been watching them a little bit lately, so I thought that address sounded familiar. Female on your list, do you have, is anybody like Stevie Nicks or Madonna on your list?
They are both on the list. Give that guy two bells. Stevie Nicks and Madonna are both there. Nicely done. We're looking for one more.
Don't think I can pull it. That's all I got then.
Thank goodness my husband was out walking the dog and he didn't hear that Stevie Nicks was on the list. He thinks that she's a genius and I think she's just the opposite. So anyway.
Wait, he's walking the dog during the show? I'm shocked.
Yeah, yeah. That shows the level of respect I get here. And all right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
This
is Megan in San Francisco.
Hi, Megan.
Question for our guest for the cities is Helena.
Ooh, so close, but not quite. Go a little east.
Go a little east.
Yeah.
I have to look at a map.
Oh, all right.
No, where are we? Oh, that's a Dakota. What? No.
Bismarck, North Dakota?
Bismarck, North Dakota is number 50 on the Wall Street Journal's list of the 50 best cities to live in. What they are thinking, I do not know.
That's the same reaction I would have.
Yeah.
And then, oh, the Pasadena, that was already guessed, right?
Yep.
Right.
Do I have time for a question?
Very quick.
Okay. Who was the first celebrity couple to get married at Caesars in 1966 after they just opened?
How about Steve and Edie Gourmet? Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet?
No. Yes.
How about Frank Sinatra and Mia Farrow?
No. It's a little more obscure.
Elvis? How about a more obscure?
Sorry?
More obscure.
I was going to go with Elvis and
Lucy
Marie. No.
Yeah, no. You better tell us. We're almost out of time.
Yep. Xavier Cugat and Charo.
Oh.
It comes from the trivia question, comes from the biography of Evel Knievel that my husband read.
All right. Thank you very
Have
much.
Night.
You too. All right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, great. Hi. Robert Friedman, San Francisco.
Hi.
A couple. Olympia, Washington, for state capitals and states.
For the last, it's not quite right. Keep further down the list.
Okay. And Bonnie Raitt and Blondie.
No.
Lori?
Neither one's in the top 100. Sorry to say.
That's
amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye, Josh.
Thank you. All right. I'm sorry we have to run now. Let's see. Let's finish. Let's fill in any gaps that are left over. Josh, what do you have?
All right. I'd forgotten about the question about the low-ranking state capital and state. That turns out to have been Salt Lake City, Utah, rather.
Okay.
And then on the Wall Street Journal list of good cities to live in, Denver, Colorado was the one that nobody thought of.
All right. And Lori, very quickly.
The one composer we're missing is the woman who wrote And Then He Kissed Me, The Leader of the Pack, and River Deep, Mountain High, the great Ellie Greenwich. Wrote her songs with Jeff Barrett. Other than that, we ran the tape. Nice work.
And of the 20 most taught books in American high schools, which three were not originally written in English, The Odyssey, Diary of Anne Frank, and All Quiet on the Western Front. The four parties that got at least 100,000 votes after the Republicans and the Democrats, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, the Constitution Party, and the Independent Party. If we didn't get to your call, I do apologize. My thanks to Lori Fisher and Josh Cosman tonight. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Damian D. Minor for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Happy Independence Day.
Good night.